It is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. And Arthur joins us on Robin Hood Radio and has for ages and ages. The big difference, however, is that I have not been the host for the longest time. But I'm going to try and make good. Hi, Arthur.
You'll
how are you?
You'll be just fine.
Do you remember that far back when we used to?
I do, indeed.
Okay.
You'll be just fine. Listen, it's that season for me, although it's, I think, maybe a week or two early, where it's so hot and humid, I not only don't want to cook, I sometimes don't even want to think about food. So I realize now that a lot of my motivation to cook is actually my yearning for things, and I don't when it's this hot. In fact, I think last year at this time, we were probably talking about drinking your calories every day. I don't know. This year, I tell you something. This is a confession.
Okay.
I never ate a Wendy's hamburger until this week. And, well, 6 days
ago. Are those
the
square ones? No, that's
they are the square ones. Now, I always thought this was like a big gap in my education, the only fast food burger that I had never eaten. So that confession is I never ate it, but the other confession is I just ate one. And I'll confess, it wasn't bad. It was actually pretty good, I thought. I didn't know what I was doing. There's so many choices at these places. So I ordered, they call it a classic. But who knew? A classic by them is with cheese and bacon and other stuff, pickle and sauce and whatnot. And they do the, have you ever been to a Wendy's?
How do you think I knew it was square?
Well, how many squares can you do? I mean, you can order it one, two, or three squares.
I had two squares, but I am a pickles-only person. So I will stand in the line and block it, and then it will have to snake out the door while I'm waiting for them to give
Well, let me say that the Wendy's near me. Oh, let's go. I'm a sort of food historian.
Okay.
The Wendy's near me is at the south end of Prospect Park on a street called Empire Boulevard, which becomes, if you cross Flatbush Avenue, Ocean Avenue. If all you ex-Brooklynites will understand what I'm talking about. On the corner, where there is a Wendy's, with, by the way, one reason I went, it has a parking lot, was one of the original fast food places in Brooklyn, a stand called Wetson's. Now, Wetson became famous because the proprietor, let's call him, of Wetson's was a guy named Herb Wetson. But his father was a very vivacious guy, and they put up the father as the figurehead of the family, and he used to go on telethons, like, you know, the Jerry Lewis telethon, to donate money from Wetson's. It was great advertising, and it was also charitable.
So this is why that name sounds familiar. That's I was trying to figure out, how would I know that?
That's right, exactly. Right. Because the guy, the father, Herb himself was never on TV that I know of. Herb was the first person I was sent out to profile as a young reporter, food reporter, at Newsday on Long Island. Herb lived in, I don't know, one of the five towns. I don't even remember why we were interviewing him. But he was an engaging guy, and he taught me how to make shrimp francese, that I remember. Anyway, that's where Wendy's is now. And I've driven by it thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of times, because it's right off on Flatbush Avenue, one of the main thoroughfares of Brooklyn. And anyway, first time I went in, it was pretty good. And, you know, it's not as cheap as you think it should be, but what is these days? And what we ordered was the classic. It ends up, it's really the double patty, big bacon classic. And the very clever and nice cashier rang it up the way it was the most economical, who knew, I was ordering everything a la carte, but what she gave me was a medium combo, which was medium fries and a medium Coke, which I didn't drink. That was Bob's. And the double big bacon classic, and that's $13.19. And then she charged me just for the sandwich alone, which is $9.39. Now, given that, I don't know, a good burger in my neighborhood, my overpriced neighborhood, is $18 a burger and fries in the sit-down place where they actually carry it to the table. In this case, you know, it's self-serve, so to speak. So I, because of the heat, and I don't want to cook, I ended up there one day, and I didn't regret it. But on those, you know, I can't eat so much. That's a good thing. And I end up eating just fruit for dinner.
Okay.
Totally into watermelon, which seems to be very abundant this year and cheap. But just saying. I would pay more, but don't have to. And, of course, I got some unbelievable nectarines the other day. So a lady in the store said to me, why are you buying the white ones? And I said, they're sweeter. But that's not really the answer. What you really have to say is, who's explaining to the lady next to you picking fruit, that they're not really sweeter, they're less acidic. So because the white peaches and the white nectarines are a little less acidic than their yellow cousins, they taste sweeter. I love them. And I don't know how to pick them except if they smell, you know they're good. They probably should be eaten right away.
How firm? Like how?
Well, this is it. You know, I don't want to buy fruit that's going to sit here for 3 days and then actually not ripen properly anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know, I palm it. I hate when people stick their finger in the fruit.
Oh, no.
It drives me crazy.
How about a gentle sort of push?
A palm.
I see.
If you palm it, you're not going to bruise it.
Okay.
And you can get a sense of its readiness to eat.
Okay.
Peaches and nectarines should, you know, mostly be ripened on the tree. They don't get any better off the tree.
It's
pears ripen off the tree. So pears, you have to let them hang out for a couple of days. But right now, I'm not eating pears. I'm eating a lot of melon. I just said yesterday I got to go buy some cantaloupe because
I'm so melon specific. It's ridiculous. You would think that I would just love all melon, but I don't. I only love
which one?
Only love cantaloupe.
Well, so we've gotten a few mediocre cantaloupes lately. I think they're going to be better starting about now. But it made me think of my grandfather, Barney Schwartz, who knew a lot about food, who was, in fact, a waiter at the end of his life after doing many other food things. Anyway, he always put salt on his cantaloupe. Do you ever put salt on the cantaloupe?
No, but the whole prosciutto thing. I mean,
that's right.
Prosciutto and melon is
the
just
salty and the
salty
and the,
and, the, and so I would happily.
Yeah, I would definitely at least one little piece of cantaloupe.
Oh yeah.
Put a little salt, a few flakes of salt, and it makes the cantaloupe taste much better.
I agree.
Anyway, the other day, in fact, on a mediocre watermelon, I decided to try the salt on the watermelon, and it was terrific, too. It made the watermelon much better. And let's think about it. One of the trendy salads out there these days is watermelon and feta cheese, which is, really a good combination, in fact.
If you like watermelon.
If you like watermelon, right. I love watermelon.
Right, no, and I know I know a lot of people who like it. My only thing about watermelon is, people who do I've got an issue now. I've developed an issue about seedless anything. Seedless.
Well,
crops.
I have a big issue with it, but there's no escaping it. It seems. I can't find an old fashioned black seed watermelon.
And people have been, you'll forgive me, brainwashed into believing that seedless anything is a good idea is not.
It's easier to eat.
It may be easier to eat, but it's not easier to grow. And the part of the whole fruit thing is the cycle. I mean, you're supposed to eat living food. I'm sorry.
No. You're totally right.
And
you're
so,
totally right. And I can't, you know, Bob, every once in a while, let me just say that Mr. Harned is the melon man.
Okay.
He doesn't like necessarily to cut up fruit, but it's his job, and he does it very well. And I think he's actually proud of his cut up
his
fruit
prowess.
Abilities, his carving abilities. We should send him to a fruit carving class. But anyway, why was I mentioning this?
Because he carves well.
But I cannot buy. But he'll every once in a blue moon, he'll succumb to cut up fruit.
Okay.
From the grocer. And it's invariably terrible. Because they get it at the last breath of life.
Yeah, I know.
It's just like we have a fruit stand on the street, which disappeared during COVID. I didn't mind it then, before COVID, but now I'm minding it, but because it attracts rats.
Well, there's that. But isn't that
not, there's not
that's
that.
Bubonic that's plague, though. I just...
Anyway, I call him the last day of sale fruit man.
Okay, because I this is going back, like probably half a century, which is pretty terrible. But there used to be, when we first lived in New York, do you remember where the Madison Deli was?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where we lived on that corner of 86th Street and Madison,
yeah.
And 55 East, if we must
wonder what's there now.
I don't know, but William Greenberg was next to, going up Madison between 86th and 87th. Greenberg had his massive, get off the bus, get a cookie from Mr. Greenberg. But also on the corner, and I can remember the name of the stationers where I used to get, but I cannot remember the name of the fruit and vegetable place. But it was good. And the thing is, you'd call them up and you'd get fruit that you'd want to eat. I can't remember. I don't think it was Gentilly. Not positive, though, but, there was the whole, down a couple blocks was Lobel's. You worked your way up Madison Avenue. And these purveyors, at the time, were not insanely expensive. They were just the responsible purveyors for that neighborhood because that's how it worked. And I, again, not going to waste any more of your time trying to think of this name because it will only turn up afterwards. But I know that that was, that was where the fruit came from. This was where the da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know. Absent
I don't
a farmer's
either.
Market, maybe.
Well, I must say I'm very down on my local farmer's market. And it's interesting, I can't mention names, but I bumped into a neighbor on the street who used to be, years ago, very, very important with the New York City green market. And he and his wife were on the way to the fancy supermarket across the street, as opposed to going to the green market, because we get as good, if not better quality in our local market, supermarket, that is, than you can get from the farmers. And the farmers are charging a fortune for I'm not sure why, since there is no middleman here. But you just got me going. I was going to say, don't get me started, but you did. So I am not cooking, if I can help it, although I guess some people consider this cooking. I am going to make a caprese salad today. Meaning sliced mozzarella, sliced tomato, good olive oil, some basil. Actually, I have not been making it with basil lately. I've been making it with oregano, truly a caprese salad.
No, but it's got to be good because, I don't know, I am finding that the little bit of a bite that oregano has is...
Well, I like the fragrance. I mean, I have this really good... I have two bunches on the branch of oregano. One's from Sicily, and the other one's not labeled, but somewhere in Italy. And they have a wonderful, wonderful aroma. They're not aggressive flavored, so you can actually use quite a lot. But I was to myself laughing, looking at Facebook yesterday I saw my friend in Tuscany. They're having a heat wave in Italy also. And I have a friend near Siena, and she posted a picture of her caprese salad with the caption, Tuscan air conditioning.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And it was
with oregano. There was no basil on that plate.
Yeah.
Some people in Italy, I don't necessarily agree with this, do not want basil and oregano in the same dish. I don't, you know, for me, basil has to be raw, not cooked. I do like pesto, but I don't make it very often. And I like mint instead of basil. If you have mint in your garden, you got it made. But oregano, and dried oregano you always have.
Dried oregano you always have, and you can, even with the grandmother trick that you talk about all the time, which is absolutely right, you know, if you want your
But store it somewhere where it's not going to get all...
All right.
The point is... You know, I was watching something, I don't even know what, but I was watching something in a kitchen of... shot in the kitchen of somebody who should know better, and there were the spice rack over the stove, the worst possible place to put a spice rack. Anyway, it's the time of the year where you can get fresh things, so I'm not necessarily saying use oregano, but I do like it, and it's there.
And do you dress it?
Slices of mozzarella. Sometimes it doesn't need salt. It depends on the mozzarella. Some is salty, some not so salty. I like fresh cheese. I live in a place where I can go to a store and buy a cheese made that morning. In fact, I even know the cheese in my store comes out about noon. So if I get there about noon, I'm going to get a cheese that was just made that morning. And it can sit there at room temperature, actually, until the evening, if you wanted to. I have to laugh. We had this really Neapolitan-type argument the other day with somebody who knows a lot about Naples, about whether you let the cheese sit to rest. That's in quotes, the word rest. Whether you should sit and let it rest, or whether it's best eaten right after it's made. And I'll never forget this. I went to the beach with a friend. This is so many years ago when I went to a beach. But I went to a beach with a Neapolitan friend. And there are shacks along the road that sell freshly made buffalo milk mozzarella. So we bought a big ball, and maybe more than one, in fact. And we couldn't, and I thought it was going to be eat on the beach. I think a lot of people do. They just eat it on the beach. But no, we couldn't eat it on the beach. We had to wait till we got home that night because the cheese needed to rest first. And it does change a bit over the course of a day.
How much does it have to rest? And I have a digression. We had a mutual friend. He's long, long gone, like 2011, long gone. But, you know, the debate, wasn't a debate, it was an... It was a directive. You know, it's like the meat always had to rest. It's like, I'm hungry.
No, he's right about that.
But
the cheese, I believe if you can get a freshly made cheese, eat it.
Yeah.
Don't let it rest necessarily, but you can. So the cheese, I once got a cheese from my butcher, and I was very, very upset with him because it was clearly not made that day. And so since then, you know, if I have any doubt, I ask Rocco to come out and verify that that's made that day. But anyway, it's only, I will turn the stove on to make some pasta. I will do that.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily want to make a sauce. I mean, I'm happy to eat just boiled pasta with oil, salt, and pepper.
Yeah.
Or
oil and little cheese.
Butter and cheese.
Butter and cheese. Oh, magic.
Yeah, I go either way. Depends on my mood.
Oil, salt and pepper, oil,
And oil and garlic.
Oil and garlic.
Better raw, I think. I have to say, Marcella Hazan, who was actually a personal friend, once told me this is many, many years ago, obviously. Victor's her husband. Victor preferred aglio olio with raw olive oil and raw garlic, and you know, and some hot pepper. Either could be fresh, but could be dried hot pepper too. And just you could mix it up together and just let it sit, but you don't have to. And I agree. And she came to agree with her husband that this was more appealing in a way than cooking the garlic. On the other hand, cooking the garlic is not a bad thing.
No, cooking the garlic isn't a bad thing. And if you know, if you develop a garlic...
Well, you have a garlic phobia.
But no, it's not phobia. It's just my tolerance of all alliums just decreased over... decreased over age. That was just
really. I love my alliums too much, probably.
Well, no, because different bodies are different. I'm always going to say that. I have the same problem with zinc. You know, I obviously came into this lifetime. This body has way too much zinc because when zinc became a thing for colds, you know, I took some zinc and I literally. Physically became so sick. It was just like, wait, that's too much for me. So, back to garlic. Nothing wrong with a little bit of garlic flavoring the oil, but that's how I do it. I've always done it wrong.
I mean, I like garlic. You know, I mean, I don't like overwhelming amounts necessarily. Although there's certain things do call for necessarily. You know what's very handy in this weather? Shrimp.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah,
can you go on the pasta too.
Can you buy good, already cooked shrimp?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good. Because, you know, a lot of things, you could just make a salad with shrimp. I happen to love even just shrimp cocktail for dinner.
Yep.
And I also love, and I have a great recipe for, shrimp remoulade.
Oh, I was just going to ask you about that. Okay.
Now, this is a recipe from John, I don't know if he says False or Falsy. The New Orleans, actually, he's not New Orleans so much as Donaldsonville, Louisiana. Lafitte's Landing is the name of his restaurant. But he also has a very hoo-ha, expensive restaurant in the middle of the French Quarter of New Orleans. Anyway, I was friendly with John way back when nobody knew who he was, and he gave me this recipe, which I have made all these many years, and super easy, 1.5 cups of mayonnaise. Now, I didn't know his recipe literally says heavy-duty mayonnaise. I didn't realize what that meant until fairly recently. And what it means is Duke's. You know the brand Duke's?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yeah. So that's the mayonnaise he uses because he's from Louisiana. But I must say, I did a tasting not that long ago between Duke's and Hellman's. But my Hellman's, you know, I grew up on Hellman's, so how can I not love it better? Anyway, 1.5 cups of mayonnaise, 1/2 cup of Creole mustard. Now, don't have to go out of your way to get Creole mustard. Any whole grain mustard, you know, grainy Dijon mustard, for instance, is pretty much the same thing. 1/2 cup of that. Now, there's a lot of seasoning in this. A tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 teaspoon of hot pepper sauce. Now, in Louisiana, they use a brand called Louisiana Gold. They like it better than Tabasco. I think Tabasco's out perfectly fine, and that's what I keep in my cupboard. 1/2 cup of finely diced scallions. I call them scallions. And I would use a little bit of the light green part, not the dark green part, just the white and the light green. 1/4 cup of diced celery, also finely diced. 2 tablespoons, sorry, minced garlic. But you're not going to know it's... It's not aggressive garlic. Do not crush the garlic. Do not press the garlic.
No, mince the garlic.
Do not grate the garlic. Mince the garlic. Finely chop the garlic. For Jill's sake. 1/4 cup of finely chopped parsley. which does, by the way, balance out garlic, and a half a tablespoon, maybe more, maybe a tablespoon of lemon juice. You beat that all up together. It's basically a salad dressing. And a salt and pepper. How much? I'm not sure. You'll taste on your finger and tell me. And do not dress the shrimp ahead of time. You can. I keep this in the refrigerator from morning until evening or late afternoon. And when at that point it's nice and blended, and you just put out a pile of shrimp, dunk.
Yeah.
Or put the shrimp on a plate with lettuce and pour it over. But you shouldn't put the shrimp in ahead of time. They get a bad texture.
Do you ever, just out of curiosity, is it, you dump, you should put it over, or can people
dip? Yeah, either way.
Can people dip?
Yeah, dip. I'm a dipper.
I'm a dipper.
I'm a dipper myself.
I like to organize the amount of, this is a perfect proportion of shrimp to dip.
Don't do it ahead of time.
Yeah, no, that.
No, a big, but listen, who could resist? I remember a day, not a day, but a year, maybe it's the same, who knows. I don't know what I was doing out in the Hamptons. It's not my kind of place at all. It was a long time ago. But I had to remark that at every party I went to, they served shrimp. Shrimp cocktail, shrimp with this kind of dip, shrimp with that kind of dip. But there was always a pile of raw shrimp. It was the, I don't know, I don't go to parties anymore, so I'm not even sure anybody serves shrimp.
But it was that time. Do you know what's happened? This is unbelievable. This used to happen years ago. Just the time flies when... and you get hungry. That's two things that happen to me.
I'm actually hungry. I am going to make some remoulade sauce.
Okay.
Because, with this weather, I have to walk somewhat every day. So on a day like, a hot, humid day, a good walk is through the store of Costco. The Costco near me is very large. You've walked a half a mile at least just doing the food floor. And I'll get some shrimp. They have very good shrimp at Costco, and cheap.
So that's perfect. You'll report afterwards. And I'm so glad you mentioned. I had to tell somebody, and I was really made me feel my age, that if you've chopped some parsley and garlic together, you definitely lowered the
temperature.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this has other things going. So sure. The garlic is just, and that's why you also want it to sit a little bit so that it mellows out a tiny bit. And actually, it does the opposite, but it feels like it's mellows out because you got these other flavors. Anyway, goodbye.
It's resting. Goodbye. We'll talk to you soon. I'm resting. Arthur, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. And
we'll talk soon.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.